One of my favorite stories, not Bible stories, but just favorite stories, is about a man who's from France. And some of you I may have told this story to before. You may know this story. I may have told you. This is Charles Blondin, as we know him as Charles Blondin. He has a French name, and I don't speak much French, and so I'll just use his U.S. name. Charles Blondin came from France, and as a young boy, he was trained to walk on the tightrope. And so that is what he did for a living, is he walked on a tightrope, and so he came to the United States, and he was talked into putting a rope across the Niagara Falls and walking across that, and he was the very first person to actually walk on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? You stood right on the edge there where the water is just going so, just so slowly, and then over it goes. It seems so peaceful. You are 6 feet from death. Anyway, this was not back in the 1900s. This was back in the 1800s. You see along here, they have some guy wires because they were not able to stretch the rope tight enough that they had to actually use guy wires to support it. So you're walking across this rope. I can only picture it. It's not really tight. And so he walked across the river there on that tightrope. Of course, you can imagine what it was like. When he was about ready to do that, there was crowds on both sides. And there were people on one side of the aisle saying, "Don't do it, it's dangerous." And there were people on the other side of the aisle cheering him on. You know, there was always two opinions. There's never one opinion, right? There's always two or more. And so he did make it across, did fine. As the story goes, many women fainted that day as he was out in the middle of the river. 1,100 feet. That's 1,100 feet to get across the river. The story goes that he actually carried a wood stove out there one day on his back with some wood, and he cooked an omelet out there on the rope. He cooked an omelet. Another story is told that he took a chair out there and he stood on the chair, balancing it on opposing legs. So he put two legs on the chair and he stood on the chair and balanced on that. Quite a guy. Quite a fella. He actually went across with a wheelbarrow one time. And then when he got back to the other side, he asked if anybody would be willing to get in the wheelbarrow and go across with him. Now this is a picture. This is actually a painting. It's not a real picture. Because nobody would get in the wheelbarrow. Many people, when he asked the question, would you get in that? Would you get in there and ride? Because he had taken a cross and he came back. Do you think it's possible that I could put somebody in there and take them across? And everybody cheered. Yes, you could. And he said, would anybody get in? And everybody was just like you, saying nothing. Nobody went across with him in the wheelbarrow. Well, as time went by, you know, he did all these things. New York City was not big and tall like it is now with all the big buildings. So he couldn't do any big buildings. This was the most dangerous thing in the country to do. But things were waning. He couldn't draw the crowds. And so his manager said, well, this is what we're going to do. I am going to get on your back and we're going to go across Niagara Falls with me on your back. He wanted to draw a large crowd. Now that take either, there's two things that is. That's either faith or stupidity. So they did do it. Would you believe, there is a picture. There is a picture. Now, Charles told his manager, he said, listen, when we go across the river, I'll do the balancing. You just hang on. If you try to balance, we're both going to go in the river. You let me do the balancing. Is that trusting? Is that trusting? There he is as an older guy. There's not really a picture of him when he was older, but he died of natural causes. Natural causes is old age. Is old age. Because I trust him. Let's take a look. I want to take a look in the Bible at a story that we have looked at many times. But I want to look a little closer at trusting. We're not going to get through it this week. It's going to take a couple, 3 weeks to get through it. So, you guys will have to come back. You're only from Dallas. Let's pray together before we begin. Father in heaven, we're thankful. We're thankful for the Bible and how it reveals you to us. And so today as we open that up, we pray, Father, that you will be here through your Spirit to guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's go right to Genesis. Well, you may still have your Bible open. You may still have your Bible open there in Jeremiah. Remember what we read in Jeremiah? We read through verse 13. We read 11 through 13. 13, you shall seek me and you'll find me. But we didn't read any of verse 14. Look at the beginning of verse 14. It says, and I will be found of you. Jesus is not trying to hide from us. He wants us to find him. That is important to him. And so let's go. Let's go to Genesis. Let's start in Genesis. Let's actually start in Genesis chapter 1. And let's take a look. Let's take a look here. Trusting. Because I trust him. Which comes first? Trust or faith? Okay, which is it, or is that the same thing? Okay, which comes first? Trust or love? Does trust come first? You sure? Okay, then love. Which one comes first? Let's see. Okay, he says trust. Arturo. No, I'm sorry. Raphael. Raphael. I'm curious. Which comes first? Love or trust? Okay. Well, now that's going to work well, isn't it? We're talking here because I trust him, but when we're done with trusting him, then we're going to talk about because I love him. I believe trust has to come first. I believe that you have to trust before you can love. Travis has he has that emoji look. He has that. Let's take a peek here. Let's take a peek right here. Let's start in chapter 1. That's in verse 1. Let's look right through here. We're going to have to hurry. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form. Are you there? Genesis 1. Genesis 1. 1, and we're right there in 1 and 1 and 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And that's what it looked like when when the Creator got here right there. That's the next slide. That's what it looked like. I wondered how the slide would come out, a black slide. It just comes out blank. That's it. That's what it was like when the Creator got here. It's interesting because the words there, the earth was without form and void. It was empty. It was nothingness. There was nothing. And He got here. And He said in verse 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let there be light. I believe that it's in John chapter 8, right after He is done, right after He is completed with the woman caught in adultery and everybody leaves, He says, I am the light of the world. That's Him. He's the Creator. Let's check it out. Hold on a second. Let's check that out. Jesus, the Creator. Let's go to the New Testament, Colossians. Go over to Colossians. Colossians, let's look in chapter... Did I say Colossians? Okay. You know, I'm just getting older, and my memory is not as good as it once was. And I'm keeping my hair tied down. You know, when they had their boat, when the pastor had his boat and his car over there, did anybody notice the cover that was on the car? Did you notice that? It kept blowing off, and I kept covering it up, and it would blow off, and I'd cover it up. I would never go out there when it was windy because I didn't want my hair to blow off. But when they got here, I think that the car was uncovered, wasn't it? I tried to cover it. It blew it so bad the last time I couldn't get the cover back up. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, we're in Colossians. We're in Colossians. We want chapter 1. And here he's talking, Paul is talking about Jesus. Look at verse 12. Let's start in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So he's talking about Jesus right here, talking about Jesus, who in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, that are in the heaven and then in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. So Paul is very clear. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the one, when He spoke in Genesis 1, when He said, let there be light, that was Jesus speaking. He said, let there be light. Let there be light. So let's go back. Let's go back to Genesis 1. God said, let there be light. God saw the light in verse 4, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. A firmament in the midst of the waters. And very interestingly enough, I do use other translations sometimes. I found a translation that I thought you might find interesting. This is this translation is the CNB, the CNB translation. Is that right, Karen? Is that what I? CEB. I'm sorry, CEB. The I could find it. Anyway. Listen to the words that it says here. I'm buying into this. God said, let there be a dome in the middle of the waters to separate the waters from each other. Let there be a dome. Couldn't find a picture really. Give Brenda the credit. Brenda put these pictures together for me. So thank you, Brenda. I don't think we're going to find a picture of a dome. But how would you have perfect temperature? Think about this for a second. If you had a dome of water, you would have perfect, even temperature all the time. Perfect temperature. In the King James, it says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. Divide the waters from the waters. Waters below, waters above. And verse 7, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. How about that? You thought about having a dome over you? How about the next day? Any of you ever been on an island? Spent a lot of time? Anybody spent a lot of time on an island? How much time? I was on the island of Guam for a while. After a while, you realize you're on an island because you can't drive very far and you run into the ocean. So we finished the second day. Verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. You see that in verse 9? And let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called the seas. And God saw, and it was good. Verse 11, God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed after the fruit of the tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all of the things? We can imagine. We've been, you and I, we've been to many different places, seen many different trees, many different kinds of fruit, many different kinds of flowers. You can't hardly in a few slides put together all of the beauties. Let's go back one. How about that? Training them to grow in a certain way. My grandkids, when they came here and they walked down through the trees, there's no leaves right now, but they like to call that the tree tunnel. Somebody many, many years ago thought ahead and planted those trees. Verse 13, God saw the evening and the morning were the third day. Now verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven, and divide the day from night, and let there be signs for the seasons, for days and years, and let them be lights in the firmament of the heaven, give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. All of those things. Here at Eden Valley, when you go out in the middle of the night, there's no pollution from light, and you can see those stars. He created all those stars, the moon, the sun. Now the moon, has anybody heard that the moon, that somebody just, one of the countries in, of the world just landed on the moon recently? They landed on the backside of the moon. So I don't know if they really did or not. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. How important the sun is. You guys like the sun? I am so thankful. I got up this morning. I thought the sun was going to be shining today. I had to check the weather app quickly, and it showed that I was had been misinformed that it was going to be cloudy for a short time. But now the sun is out. You walk out and you feel that sunshine on your face. How about if the sun just goes behind a cloud for a little bit? Do you notice that? A couple of years ago, any of you experienced the eclipse? Any of you, were you at the 100% zone? Oh, there's a few at the 100% zone. Right here in at Eden Valley, it was like 96%. So when I looked at the sun, it didn't look any different than it does today. So when it was right at that time, because I was downtown, people had the glasses, they were all looking up. I didn't have any glasses. So I just thought, well, I'm just going to look up for just a half a second. And it was so bright, I couldn't look for half a second. And yet it was 96% covered. How about that? Okay, Tom, you were there at 100% coverage. Did you notice a drop in the temperature? Very much so, he says. Chelsea, did you notice a drop in the temp? That's just by the moon crossing there for just a short time. Could you imagine if there had been a mistake here that would have been made on the fourth day of creation and the earth actually got an extra 400 miles or 4,000 miles away from the sun? If God, say he made a miscalculation. You know what the earth would be like? It would either be a furnace or it would be an ice box. It's perfect. It was put in the perfect spot. No mistakes. No miscalculation. It's perfect. When this happens, we know a difference. We feel a difference in the temperature. Perfect. He made the greater light. Verse 17, God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day, rule over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. God saw it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 20, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures. How about that? All of those different creatures. Look at this little guy right here. Now, I've never seen a frog like that before. I have not. All of those bring forth the moving creatures that have life, fowl that may be above the earth upon the firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. And God saw it was good, and God blessed them. Verse 23, the evening and the morning were the fifth day. How about that? All of those birds that we see, God specifically created them. All of the fish, all of the... Well, I don't know what that is. Salamander? I think that's a jellyfish of some kind over there. Here's something else that's in the water. Look at the colors of the... There's a seahorse. God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after its kind, cattle, creeping things. I would have been happy to leave out the creeping thing. Hey, there's another, look at the bird. How about this guy? I have actually been up close to one of those once. I have. Where? At SeaWorld. You got it. That's how I was up close. I was very close. My niece back there was also close by me. She was holding my hand so that I wouldn't get scared. And we saw those right up close doing very nice things. So even though they have a very small brain, they still respond to humans, and they're trainable. And anyway, I forgot about that slide. Verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Living creatures. So we have all kinds of other living creatures. Let's see what other ones we have. We have more living creatures. We have some back here. There's all kinds of creeping things. Look at the spider. Look at the color of that spider, though. Look at this guy. I like this guy, his eye. You know how his eye moves around like in a socket? It's so cool, all the things that are made. He made those creeping things and the beast of the earth. Anybody know what that is? A what? Hedgehog. I like these guys over here. When Karen and I were over in Africa, we actually saw some of those from a distance. And you know, they just move so majestically as they walk. It's just amazing. And we were a long ways away. I wasn't able to get a good look at their tongue. But at the zoo in Denver, I have gotten a good look at a giraffe's tongue. It's very long. And it's purple. You buy grass down there. It's very good grass. I know it is because it's very expensive. And you give it to the grandkids, and they just love to hold that up, and the giraffe puts its head down, and that tongue comes out and encircles that bundle of grass and takes it away, and the kids just scream. You gotta try it, Travis. No, I mean, take your kids. It's amazing, the giraffe. And what is amazing to me on the giraffe is that when he's standing there, he or she, and they're reaching up and they're grabbing some leaves off of a tree, their blood is being pumped by their heart clear up there to their head. But yet when they put their head down to grab that grass out of my grandson's hand, their brain, their head does not explode from the excessive blood pressure. I'm not a scientist, but there's some kind of valve that couldn't just happen. It had to have been put in him or her. She was created that way, to be beautiful for you and I to look at. And they are beautiful, both in the zoo and in the wild. They are beautiful. I didn't see any of these guys in the wild when I was in Africa. And that's probably a good thing. But they did tell us when we were out and we saw all the buffalo, the big herd of buffalo. They don't look like American buffalo. They look different than that. Their horns are different and such. But they said the lions follow along behind the buffalo herd, waiting for the one that is weak. And so we never did see that. So in verse 25, God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth, and it was good. It was good. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. What kind of image does God have? Do you think that God has like a lot of earlobe? Or more of a littler earlobe? You think his nose is long and sleek, or is it more pudgy? She said perfect. That didn't really answer the question. He made us after his image. What do you think of when you think of God? In Sabbath school class, we read the verse, 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John. First John chapter 4. I'm going to suggest to you that here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That is God. God is love. It doesn't say God is loving, it just God is love. And so when God created you, He created you like Him, He created you to love. If God is love, God would want something that could love Him back. Not like my phone. You know, I love my phone. It does everything I tell it to do. Almost always, Clayton says, except for when it decides to lock up. So if I could program my iPad, which I can't do, the Android tablet I was able to program so that when it came on in the morning, it said, John, I love you. Oh, and that was sweet. That was good. Because I felt loved. I wanted 100 of those, Travis. But let me ask you a question. If I had 100 little tablets that I could turn on all morning, or I had one granddaughter who would say, I mean, I hate to hear it, but Grandpa, I love you. Which, am I going to take 100 tablets or one granddaughter? Why would I take one granddaughter? Choice. She freely can say that. Now her brother, my instigator, listen, say it, because Grandpa will give us something. But freely she can love me. Those can say it all the time. God said there in Genesis 1, let's make man in our image. He can love us back. Oh, but what if he chooses not to love us back? He can't not choose, right? He has to love us. No, man.
Oh, man.
What if man chose not to love God back? Could that be possible? He says that he loves us. I asked which came first, trust or love? Let us make man in our image. I wondered how that was going to look, Brenda, on the screen. It looks good on the computer. Has anybody ever seen a picture of Adam and Eve covered in light? Normally, Eve is positioned perfectly behind a leaf. Adam is behind a horse, right? But friends, we're going to find out more here in Genesis. We're going to find out more in Genesis. None of God's people are ever uncovered. God's people are always covered by something. We're going to find that out on another day. He made us like Him. Let's look at that. Let's go back. We're in 1 John, but let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. In our image. And so in verse 27, God created man in 27. God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female He created them. And verse 28, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Can you imagine hearing those words from the Creator? Adam and Eve have been created. He's put them together and He said, be fruitful and multiply. Is that what happens? Is that what happens? I know it wasn't many months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, right here, we had a wedding and we asked God to be here at that wedding. Raphael and Judith got married right here. And they're listening to the Creator. They are being fruitful. And they are multiplying. And so they've made an announcement. I'm saying something I shouldn't say. They have made an announcement on GroupMe on the campus information line that they're going to have a baby. How about that? There is nothing like a baby. I love babies more than iPads, most of the time. The problem with a baby is, with a young child, they have freedom. And when I tell my granddaughter, I ask her, Callista, come and sit on my lap. And she's like, no, I want to do something else. That's freedom. What would we be without freedom? You can't have love, can you? Love is never forced. Be fruitful and multiply. So next time we're going to talk more, but if you want to see the baby, you're going to have to come back in a few months. You have to come back in a few months. And we go down to verse 31. God saw that everything that He had made, and behold, it's not just good anymore. Now it's very good. Why is it very good? Because you've been created. Now it can be very good. Because there is a relationship available between us and God every day. A relationship right there. And then we go into chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. The heavens and the earth are finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested. Verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He had rested from all of His work. And there He was. There they were. They were in the garden. They were in a perfect place. No trouble. Almost like Eden Valley. A perfect place. Almost no trouble. How about that? Garden of Eden. If we read into chapter 2, there was one restriction. There's one restriction. How many of you walked? Have a lot of you walked extensively? I know we have a few visitors here. Have you walked along the canal road? Any of the lifestyle guests walk? Did you walk along the canal road? No. Well, at Eden Valley, you can walk anywhere you want. You can go anywhere you want. Except one place. Danger. Keep out. What's that say? Certain death. What does that mean, certain death? Guaranteed? You're not getting out? Certain death. We can go anywhere we want. Except there. Certain death. That's as we end today, let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at this in chapter 2. You're in chapter 1, but let's go to chapter 2. And I just want to hit on a couple of things and look at one verse in chapter 3. In verse 8 of chapter 2, the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made God grow every tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're both right there. Now, it doesn't say they're side by side, but they are both there. And He tells them, Verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Everything here at Eden Valley is for you. Everything in the garden was for them. But He says, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. What does that mean? Certain death? Surely die. I discovered something. And we're not going to touch on this. We're just touching, and then we're going to talk about it on another Sabbath. Those words there, you guys check it out. Surely die. In the Hebrew is the same word twice. Think about this for a second. If we were to transliterate, it would be, you will die, die. If you eat from that fruit, you're going to die. It's certain death. But there's something important about die, die, die. We're going to touch on that on another Sabbath. Okay, it's easy, right? Kate, have you ever walked along that canal road? Have you ever had the desire to jump in? Well, wait a second. Maybe I better not. With the kids here, maybe I better not. What do you think? I have never had the desire to jump in there. Ever. Now, I've never had a grandchild fall in there. I've never had my wife fall. Well, my wife, she swims better than I do, so I couldn't save her. I can't swim. I would never go in that water. But what about that tree? What about that tree? I could imagine. Let me skip a slide here. I can imagine, if we read into chapter 3, we see that God came and talked with in the cool of the evening. I think every day God came and talked. I think there were angels that came and talked to the pair and described something. Described what had gone on in heaven. Do you know what went on in heaven? We're going to look at chapter 3 and verse 1, but before we look at chapter 3 and verse 1, I want to go to Revelation. I want to go to Revelation 12. I want to go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. And we can pick it up in verse 7. We're just going to look at one verse right there in Revelation 12 and verse 7. It says, there was war in heaven. Whoa! War in heaven? I can't hardly even imagine it. Because I'm thinking Eden Valley is a perfect, almost a perfect place. I can't even think of war here. What about war in heaven? There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Verse 8, prevailed not, neither was a place found any more for them in heaven. And the great dragon, was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan. There's four names right there, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth. Can you imagine there might have been some angels visiting the earth and telling the couple, watch out! Because there was a war in heaven, and this individual has been cast to this planet. And could you imagine what they're looking for? They're looking for that. They're saying, well, watch out. We'll know that angel. We'll know that bad angel when he shows his face. We'll know him. Would we know the devil if he walked in that door? I would. He's red. He's got two horns. He's got a pitch. Hey, do we know what the devil looks like? Do you think Adam and Eve ever would have thought that he'd have showed up like that? Shown up like that. And that's what we read if we look at Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Chapter 3 verse 1 tells us, well, let's go there. That's the last verse we're going to look at. I promise. Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent. Do we know who that serpent is? We sure do, because we just read it in Revelation. Gives us four names of who that is. The serpent. The serpent was more subtle. Subtle. I wrote down some other words for subtle. What'd you say? Tricky. Okay, I don't have that one. I have crafty. I have cunning. What? Sly. I don't have that one. I have shrewd. I have astute. Astute? Astute. Okay, true. But that's a description not of his character. Deceptive, crafty, sneaky, clever, cunning, astute. Astute is like showing shrewdness and shrewdness. But we all have others, right? So when we think of that word, when we read there, now the serpent was more subtle. He wasn't there trying to help them. He was more subtle than all the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, anybody ever seen a talking snake? I've seen a talking horse, but not a talking snake. Did you? You've never seen the talking horse? Okay. Can you, just in your mind, can you picture that snake? Not crawling along the ground. Check, okay, I told you that verse 1 was the last verse, but we have to look at one other verse to see a picture. We have to see a picture. It's right here. It's in Genesis 3 and verse 14. Genesis 3 and verse 14. And the Lord God said to the serpent, this is afterwards. We'll come back to this on another day. Because thou hast done this, what you've done, because you've done it, you're cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon your belly you will go. Dust you'll eat all your days. What does that tell you? What? He used to go a different way. He either walked or flew. Now he's been cursed. He's on his belly. He either walked or flew to that tree. And in my mind, I see him. I see that serpent flying to that tree. And I can see Eve seeing him going overhead. Whoa, check out that serpent. And it lands in that tree. And it kind of lays there. Bites into one of those pieces of fruit. And she's like, what? And they begin to talk. Has God not said you can eat of every tree of the garden? Am I going to trust? Am I going to trust? Am I going to trust it? Am I going to trust what God says? Or am I going to rely on my own eyes and my own ears? As we continue, we're going to continue in Genesis chapter 3 each week. And we're going to look at some things in Genesis chapter 3 that maybe we haven't seen before. Trusting. Sometimes trusting is not as easy as it sounds. I'll tell you a quick experience of mine that happened Wednesday. As some of you know, I'm working on a little project, and I'm using a semi-truck to do it. And when I left here on Sunday, my schedule was to pick up an empty tanker in Nebraska and take it to Houston for a company, an empty used tanker, and pick up in Houston a brand new tanker at a factory and bring it to Denver. I told you I was on vacation, but I'm working on a special project. I'll tell you about that sometime. On my way to Houston, the return trip, canceled. So now I'm going to be in Houston. Anybody ever been to Houston? It's a ways away. And had no return trip. Now the truck will drive without a trailer. But that's no money. That's no money, and I'm working for a project. So, I told Karen, and I prayed. I said, Lord, you know I have to be here. I have to be back to Eden Valley by Friday night. And so I have certain restrictions. You know, it's a commercial vehicle. If any of you have ever been in a commercial vehicle, there are restrictions. And so I prayed. I told Karen, I said, listen, I prayed and I told the Lord, I've got to have a load by Wednesday afternoon by 5 o'clock or I'm coming home empty because I have to be here. So it was about 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. I told Karen, doesn't look like there's anything to go. So I'm leaving and I'm headed home. And she said, no. You said 5 o'clock. I said, no, there's no loads. There's no loads. She said, you said 5 o'clock. So I went and laid back down in the sleeper. I got the iPad, opened it up at just before 4 o'clock, and there was a load that popped up there that had not been there before. It just came up for a new trailer, an end dump coming out of a factory in Houston going to Commerce City, which is in Denver, Colorado. So I immediately called the broker. She said, yeah, I just got it. And I said, I have to have all of the paperwork done by 5 o'clock today. She said, that can't do that. You have to finish it in the morning. I said, I can't. I have to be at that facility in the morning, first thing, in order to make it back here. And if anybody happened to hear or see, I did pull the truck in over there at about 4:30 yesterday afternoon. The lady said, we cannot get the paperwork done because you need a special insurance certificate and it won't happen. I said, we have to try. We talked back and forth. Karen talked to the insurance people. And at 4:59, I hung up the phone with the broker. We had all the paperwork in line. And I picked up the trailer first thing on Thursday morning. Trusting. You see, the Lord wants to work in our life. I was ready to go. When I talk about faith and trusting, it's easy to talk. But actually putting your life in the position. I'm not working for me. This project is the Lord's project. And that's what Karen reminded me of. It's not your job. You can't just go home empty because you made a promise. Let the Lord fulfill that promise. And He did. I just wish He hadn't waited till the last minute. But is that the way? What does the Lord want to do? Test us, not tempt us. When Abraham took Isaac to the top of the mountain, when did God say stop? At the last second. And I'm thankful. It's hard for me to say, but I'm thankful that the Lord tested me. This is the Lord's project that I'm working on. It's not mine. And I need to leave it in His hands. Trusting. I'm asking you guys, give the Lord an opportunity. And let Him show that He is trustworthy.